everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is a very special guest, and she is joining us all the way from Italy. It is Professor Raffaella Cagliano. How are you today, Raffaella?
I'm very well, thank you. What about you?
I'm fine, thank you, and it's great to have you here on the program. And for those listening, Raffaella is a professor at the School of Management at the Politecnico di Milano, where she teaches business processes at the graduate level, general management at the undergraduate level, survey methodology and organization and management at the PhD level. That's quite impressive, and we have her joining us here today to talk about one of her latest pieces of work. So without further delay, Raffaella, let's just get into today's podcast, and I want us to focus on your most recent piece that you've wrote, and the bit that really stuck out for me was that you talked about the three areas of accountability in business, which is social, environmental, and financial. Can you please run us by each and how they're important to business today?
Yes, sure. And thanks again for having me with you today. So let's start from the financial accountability, because of course this is where all the company are looking at, and since the very early stages of business development, of course, financial accountability is the main goal and driver for a company for measuring its success and growth, and it refers to the responsibility of companies in front of their shareholders to create a sustained stream of profits to pay back their investment and to sustain growth. So basically, this is the basis for any business. But today, there is an increasing recognition that profit without a responsible management of the environment and the social performance is in itself not sustainable. The view of the firm where the company is owned or driven by just the shareholders does not hold anymore in our society, in a society where there are many different actors that are expecting returns from the company. So if the company wants to be able to continue their activity, they have to listen to all their different stakeholders and find the correct answer to their needs or requests. I think that a very good way to put this comes from the words of the CEO of American Express that told us that in exchange for permission to pursue profits, business must behave and act in a way that protect and enhance the world we live in. So basically, this is the basis for considering social and environmental accountability together with financial accountability. And the two dimensions refer, when we talk about social accountability, we refer to creating value for both internal stakeholders that typically are the employees of our company to whom we need to provide not just decent salaries and decent working conditions, but also continuous professional and personal growth and development, and also well-being, why not? And also external stakeholders, such as the employees of the whole value chain in which the company is operating, together with local communities, the communities where the company operates, the people that live close to, right, to the company.
Right.
While instead environmental accountability refers to the responsibility of the company to improve environmental performance and to reduce their negative impact on the environment and on our planet. And I must say that the reason for considering social and environmental accountability together with financial accountability is not just for ethical reasons. It's first of all a financial performance that is driving this. Because if you move from the short term to the medium or long term, it's clear that being socially and environmentally accountable will lead to better financial performance through a number of revenue drivers, cost drivers, but also risk reduction. And investors are increasingly recognizing this by starting considering social responsibility as a way to reduce risk. And so through socially responsible investing, they are remunerating those companies that are accountable on the three dimension of the so-called triple bottom line.
Right, and that's very fascinating. And actually, I want to go back to something you said about the social aspect of this whole framework. And that is that companies and our stakeholders, as you said, must go beyond the three areas and start creating social value. Now, you've given us a good outline of why this is happening, but it seems to me that there is a shift. Why do you think that is? Could it be perhaps a company work culture or a shift in different demographics joining the workforce, perhaps?
Well, let's say that this shift is first of all, coming from a blend between the traditional business mindset and a more socially oriented mindset. And the starting point, I would say, is the increasing number of companies which main mission is to solve one of the main societal challenges that we are facing today, such as poverty, hunger, education that needs to be widespread, or climate change, or any other of these big challenges that we are facing today. So typically we have these social enterprises or new social ventures or big corporations, all these type of companies where the main aim is to produce social value, while profit is just an instrument to finance the activities that are needed to create this social value. So the goal is to move from the traditional paradigm of the charities that are supported through donations companies that are able to self-sustain themselves in an economic way while creating social value. So if you wonder that there are these two extremes, and there are traditional companies that are start looking at the triple bottom line, and on the other side that there are these companies that are just created to create social value. So that there was a great intuition by Porter and Kramer some years ago that proposed this idea of shared value. The idea of shared value is the idea that even if company are aiming at creating profits and pursuing their business goals, they can create at the same time also social value. So there is no trade-off. It's really something you can do at the same time. So somehow you don't need to. Of course, there should be a change in the culture of the company, and there are the fact that the companies are more and more under the push of a number of stakeholders. First of all, their employees asking them to be more socially accountable. Then companies need to change their behavior. But again, it's not really changing completely the way they work. It's mainly recognizing that they can pursue the two goals at the same time.
Right. And going forward from that, actually, I want to quickly jump to the recent Shaping a Creative Future Forum held by the Prada Group in partnership with the School of Management at the Politecnico di Milano and Yale School of Management. And the discussion there was based around businesses engaging with customers, employees, local communities, citizens, and institutions to form a philosophy of change in relation to the three areas of accountability that we talked about. Now, philosophy is quite a powerful word. How can you think this can be done?
Well, at the conference, we had a number of very different and interesting examples of companies engaging with different type of stakeholders. So let's just go through some examples. For example, banks need to engage with local communities and support the wealth of the local communities, because this, of course, is essential also to pursue their own business goals. Or in a similar vein, insurance companies are involving more and more with their employees and their customer to increase the social value that they can generate, for example, by developing prevention measures and prevention programs in order to reduce the need itself to use the insurance. Or another example is industrial companies that need to engage, first of all, with their suppliers and all the companies along the value chain in order to develop their capabilities to produce in a more sustainable and efficient way, again, in order to guarantee the efficiency of their purchasing activities and also at the same time creating value for the local producers, so creating social values at the same time. But again, another example that was brought to the conference was the example of foundations or social companies that, as we mentioned before, by definition are aimed at creating social value, but at the same time they need to engage with partnership with the larger companies in order to create this economical sustainability we were discussing before, because of course a foundation cannot live anymore just by donations, so they need to find a way to do some business to self-sustain their activities. So these are some of the possible examples of disengagement with different types of stakeholders, and let me say that the final goal is either to become, let's say, more sustainable, to create more sustainable business models compared to the ones that characterized the company before, but sometimes even to create some radically new business model where really the core of the business is in itself sustainable. So it's really based on some dimension of sustainability, like, for example, a company that build value from waste, that is a typical business model that is sustainable in itself.
Right. And can you perhaps give us an example of a company that you've come across that has embraced this model and reaped its success?
Yes, sure. I would like to give, in fact, two examples, one of a large company and one of a small startup. The first one is probably quite well-known Italian company that is producing coffee. It's Illy. The company was present also at the conference, at the product conference. And the CEO and owner of the company, Andrea Illy, is defining the company as a stakeholder company. The idea of this company is to make the equation between quality, ethical and beauty, so the three things have to go together in order to create value for the company. So basically it was a company that was able to move from a typical commodity, that is coffee, to a very diversified product, and through this was very, very successful and is very successful in the market. So why this is an example of what we were talking about before? Well, this company is doing many different things to create social value, to create environmental to improve environmental performance and so on and so forth. But I think the most significant one is a very important investment they made in the development of green coffee growers. So the idea was that they were pursuing, of course, a business or economic goal to ensure themselves a reliable source of high-quality green coffee, so their main raw material. So there was a business goal with that. But at the same time, they were pursuing a social goal because they work with these growers to help them to become more sustainable, to use more sustainable growing methods, to improve the working standard and condition of the workers, to improve their competence. And of course, they also were able to pay more for this, of course, better quality, but also more sustainable green coffee. So in this way, they were creating also social value, social and economic value for the local producers. So this is a typical example of shared value that was created by this company. Moving to the example of the small startup, I would like to mention Orange Fiber. This is a very small startup that was launched basically last year. Was able to develop a new fabric by using the waste from citrus and oranges. So very, very sustainable fabric, because from the one hand it was using waste, and at the same time it is completely eco-friendly. Why I'm mentioning this startup? Because, of course, for this startup it was fundamental to partner with large companies to scale up, basically, and to be able to create a higher social value. Because, of course, if you stay too small, you are not creating a great impact. The two key partnerships for this startup were, from the one hand, the partnership with the juice producer, for which they started recovering the waste from the production of juice. So the waste was used to produce this fabric. So it was kind of giving the startup the raw material that was needed to create this new fabric. And the other important partnership was with a very well-known luxury brand that decided to produce a new collection that was using the new, the innovative fabric. So thanks to these two partnerships, we hope that the company will be able to scale up. We still don't know. It's very recent, especially the second partnership. So we'll look forward to see their success in the near future.
Great. And actually, by giving me these great examples, you've also answered my next question, which was why, this idea of social innovation as a responsibility has become so important in business. But actually moving away from that, I think a more fitting question would be a bad example or something which is working against the sort of business model of the trio. And an example often used, from my experience, is the issue of wasteful food chains. Can you give us some background on this and how it's related to social responsibility and environmental responsibility?
Yes, sure. The problem of food waste is one of the most disturbing one, if you want, because there is the paradox of these probably more than 2 million people that are malnourished. While at the same time, well, there are people that suffer from many people that suffer from obesity problem, but even without going there, there is the recognition that we continue wasting food just because of inattentive behavior, or simply because we don't think about that, we are not really aware of the consequences of food waste. And this is happening at all the stages of the value chain. So it's not just, of course, us as consumers that are the first responsible for this waste, but all along the value chain there is a lot of waste of food. And yes, trying to solve this problem is very important. And as I mentioned, awareness is probably the very first step to solve this problem. Just to give you an example, Google, recognizing this problem, started measuring food waste in the preparation phase in their canteens, restaurants, and cafes that they have around their facilities. And just the measure of this food waste led to a significantly decrease in the amount of food wasted in this phase. They were talking about moving from the 5.1% to the 3.3% of food purchases wasted. So this reduction from 5.1 to 3.3 was pretty significant in just a few months. So without any cost, the company was able to reduce food waste. And in fact, it's not without any cost. It's with the decrease of cost for the company, because of course, if you don't waste food, you pay less for your food purchase. So, of course, there are many different examples. Another example could be the agreement or the partnership between a food retailer and, for example, food banks or other or charities that can transform into a valuable resource what is now a waste, and also a cost to manage this waste. And in Italy, there was a law that was recently approved, also to detax food donation from food retailers or food producers to some charities. So this is somehow facilitating and fostering this virtuous approach to manage food waste. So, of course, there are many different practices that apply at different level of the value chain. And as I mentioned before, I think the very first step is that all of us become more aware of this problem. And starting from this, we can really create more social value and also more environmental value by reducing our food waste.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last question is, what are you currently reading?
If I must say, I'm reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory for my kids.
Right.
Because also this is social value.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Work-life balance, of course.
Yes. Yes, well, I mean, as long as they enjoy it, as long as they have a good time and they get to learn more about one of these really famous stories out there, it's all great. And with that, thank you very much for joining us today, Raffaella, and talking to us about this very insightful topic.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, absolutely. It's our pleasure. And for those listening, of course, if you would like to know more about Raffaella and her work, and in fact the Politecnico di Milano, you can find them at www.polimi.it, Polimi, Polimi.it, which you can find a lot of detailed work about the courses they do, the research they do. It is all multi-language, so whatever you whatever language you speak, you'll be able to find all the information you need. And once again, thank you very much, Raffaella, for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Lit Radio.